Okay, we're going to start today at Ayin Vav Amud at the bottom. I just want to summarize. I made a little chart here. We started with Rav Yehuda, who says in the name of Shmuel. Okay, the Mivneh is going to be the same. Rav Yehuda says something in the name of Shmuel, and then Rami Bar Yechezkel says something in the name of Shmuel. Says that that's not what Rav Yehuda said, and it's really what I say, is what Shmuel said. We're going to see the two versions. Each version is going to be the same, where Shmuel said something. Something about this Machlif Para B'Chamur case. He compares it to the Kala case, which we're going to have to see which case of the Kala are we talking about. And then they bring a Koshi from the Trefa. And we'll see. The first version doesn't really get answered up very well. The second version does. Okay. We have the case Machlif Para B'Chamur. You swap, you do a Kinyan Chalibin. The Baal HaChamur takes the Para, but the Chamur is not Bashetach at the time. At that moment, the Kinyan happens. And according to the first version, what happens is the chamor dies, and now the question is, when did the chamor die? Did he die before the transaction happened or after the transaction happened? And since the chamor wasn't there at the time of the transaction, we don't really know. So who does the burden of proof lie upon? So they say if the Baal HaChamor wants to keep his para that he already acquired, he's the one who has to prove, in order to keep it in his reshut, he has to prove that the chamor was still alive at the time of the sale. That is like the Kala case. So the Gemara says, what Kala case is it like? So they answer that it's like the first part, where the father has to prove in order to keep, and then we had some questions about it, and we answered it up, in order to make the exact comparison, in order to keep the Kesef Kiddushin in his hands, he has to prove that the mum was already there, or the neder was, you know, whatever it was, the neder, the mum was from before. I guess the mum we're talking about now. Right, so we're talking about the mum. What?
What's the Kesef Kiddushin?
Let's say he gives her a ring. The father wants to say that the ring should stay in my reshut. Okay, and that doesn't, remember we said that's irregardless.
He gives her the ring and then he's suing.
At the Kiddushin he gives her the ring. The ring is the Kiddushin. Mikachim, b'kesef, b'shtar, or b'bi'ah. But we talked about that. What about b'shtar or b'bi'ah? He's not keeping anything in his hands.
Yeah,
so the point is that we said most people get engaged with kesef, and therefore they were talking about the standard case. So he wants to keep the kesef Kiddushin in his hands. Alternatively, you could say it's also that he wants to bring the ketubah money in, right? But then again, you'd have to say that it's not a perfect comparison, because one is to keep it in his hands, so the Baal HaChamor has the para and he wants to just keep it, and the father wants to be motzi, the kesef ketubah. So the Gemara didn't like that, so therefore they said we're really focusing on the kiddushin here. What's the problem with the trefa? The trefa case, by the way, the Koran I read today, or yesterday, has after class, has a very good explanation about this, the animal. Okay, first of all, they have a good picture.
The punctured lung.
They show the stomachs and all the stomach issues here. And they explain why it's called Beit HaKosod. They had a different explanation of what it is. So they said it's the second stomach. There's like a second stomach, and it looks like cups. I can pass this around. You can also glance at what they talk about before. And they say that it's very likely that when the animal was eating food, you know, an animal eats food indiscriminately. So it could be it swallowed a needle, and then it went into the stomach and punctured the stomach, which actually made a lot of sense to me. Because I was trying to figure out, I mean, you could sort of see it fell on a needle, it went all the way in, it went into the stomach, but this makes a lot more sense that it was from food. Anyway, it was a good explanation. I always find the Koran is very good for the reality of these kind of things, which we might need a little bit more today also, later on. So now, according to this, the Braita there, it says that when you have a debate about when exactly the animal had this macha go into him, was it before the seller sold the animal to the butcher, or was it after? We don't know. So they say, HaMotzim Chaver Alav HaRaya. Now this seems to imply that it depends. Did he give the money or did he not give the money? Depending on the situation, the burden of proof will fall on a different person. So therefore, it seems to contradict, because here we say, right, it's very clear who has to give the proof. So now the answer is, okay, that they gave was that it's talking about the case where the tabach didn't give the money yet, and therefore the motzi is the Baal HaBehemah, and therefore, again, it's all the same. It's the Baal HaChamor needs to bring proof that it didn't happen right now. The mocher has to bring proof that it happened before he made the sale in order to keep the money in his hands. Okay? So now, I'm sorry, in order to get the money from the tabach. So now, why would that be the best comparison? Because Right. That's exactly the question. According to this, they're saying the Baal HaBehema, right? The Baal HaBehema would have to bring proof, and that to be motzi, and that would be the right. So that one second. No. So then it's b'delo yad tap chadame, in which case the Baal. Got confused again. Iyav tabachtame baila tuyeraya mafik. And that wouldn't be the right comparison. Vamai bala beima leteraya vanokim. In other words, you should say that the. Right. This is the problem. If you say that the tabach already gave the money, then what do we say? Hamatsima chaber ala haraya. The bala beima would have to bring proof to be motzi the money from the other guy. And that would be against what we said, because the thing would be that you would think the Baal HaBehema would only need to bring Amai Baal HaBehema Leteraya Vinyokim. Right, I'm still, there's something not working for me. I don't know why I'm struggling with this case. If it's the case. Okay, so here's the kushya. Iyad tabach dame baila tu yirayu mafik, and it should be that the baal HaBehema should bring proof to be mokim, right? That's what we would have thought. So now they say, if the tabach had already given the money, right? Then what would we say according to our logic? If the tabach had already paid the money, then you would think that the baal HaBehema would, according to all the logic we've said, the baal HaBehema would basically have to bring proof to be machzik the money in his reshut, right? To keep the money in his reshut. That's what you would have thought. And here we see that that's not the case, right? Because if the tabach already gave the money, then who has to bring the proof? The tabach has to bring the proof to be motzi mechaveru alav haraya. And because that's what the braita says, motzi mechaveru alav haraya. And that would go against what we would have said here, that the baal HaBehema would be comparable to all the other cases, and he would have to bring proof lachzik. So now the Gemara answers, no, it's talking about when the tabach didn't yet give the money, and the mocher wants to get his money out. So again, the burden of proof lies on the baal HaBehema. Now it's true it's not 100% comparable, because in the end his proof is to be motzi and not to be machzik. But at least it still proves that it's the baal HaBehema who the burden of proof lies on him. Okay? Now,
are we trying to show that there's a machloket in principles of hamotzi alav haraya versus something else?
No, we're trying to show that it's the baal HaBehema versus the tabach. In other words, the tabach shouldn't be the one bringing proof according to our logic. It should be the first owner. You understand? In all the cases, it was the first owner. It was the baal
hamor. It's an interest. Not because the halacha says hamotzi mechaber.
The Braita seems to say,
and this is what creates the whole problem, that it all depends on who's got the money. But the other two cases don't seem to say that. They say it's the person who was the original owner. Understand? The father or the Baal HaChamor. So according to this reading, right, go on the first column here, it's all the first person who had it. Whereas the Treifa seems to say it depends who's got the money. And it's the issue of taking money out. So the Gemara then explains it. They say, maybe it's a case where the person who's motzi mechaveru alav haraya is dafka the first owner. And then we can make an accurate comparison. But the Gemara doesn't like it, because they say, my paska. In other words, if that were the case, then that's what the Braita should have said. But it doesn't say that. It says motzi mechaveru alav haraya, which seems to be it's dependent on the situation. Did he pay? Didn't he pay? And therefore, they end with a koshi and Rabbi Huda, and it doesn't make so much sense. Okay? You follow? In other words, once you say the principle is hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, it could go both ways, and that basically contradicts this principle. So now we're going to start inside, okay?
Why don't we have that contradiction in the other cases?
Which other cases?
With the baal HaChamor and with the father.
They're the same. The baal HaChamor and the father are the same, and this contradicts it. The treifa contradicts it, because the treifa says it's all hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya. When it comes to the baal HaChamor and the father,
the other ones, it's already clear where the money would be. It's only a question in the third case, because it can go either way.
And so in the Baal HaChamor and the father, it's very clear. It's the Baal HaChamor, and again, if we're only talking about the Reisha, then it's the father. It's whoever originally was the owner.
So he can keep the money.
Exactly. And the Baal HaChamor has to prove it so he can keep the Paha. And now they want to compare it to the treifa, where the Baal HaBehemah has to prove it. Now here, it, so he takes the money, but that bothers us less. At least he's at least being the one who the burden of proof lies on him, on the original owner. Now we're going to flip it, okay? Elaki Atarami Bar Yechezkel, when he comes from Babel Teretz Israel, Amar Lotz Titzaitinhu Lahane Klale Dechal Yehuda Achi Mishmei Dishmuel. Don't listen to Shmuel, to Yehuda at all about what he said about Shmuel. Hachi Amar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said. It's not that the burden of proof always lies on the original owner. Kol Shenolad Safek Birushuto Alav Haraya. Vitana tuna kala, and that's exactly our Mishnah, remember? If it happens, and now we're talking about the whole Mishnah, not just the Reisha. Remember last time we had this problem. Is he talking about the Reisha? Is he talking about the Seifa? How does it work? So what do they say? Here it makes perfect sense. If, right, in the Machlif Para B'chamor case, what happens? The Chamor is already Bereshut HaParah at that point. Now, the Baal HaParah. Now, it's true, he doesn't have it physically in front of him, but the ownership, it already was owned by him. But if it was owned by the Baal HaChamor at the time, if it was before, then the burden of proof lies on him. So whoever has the ownership of the animal, the burden of proof lies on him, just like with the woman. If she's in the father's house, the father has to prove it. If she's in the husband's house, the husbands have to prove it, which actually makes the most sense, right? If he has ownership over it, then he's responsible for it, right? I just want to make sure one thing. Right. So now, according to this, now it's true, it's a little tricky because the Baal HaParah has ownership technically, but he doesn't have it in front of him. But you can almost say, like, that's his problem. If he did this transaction without seeing the Chamor, well, he should have been smart enough to say, bring your Chamor to the transaction and then I'll give you my Parah. So he takes ownership at that moment and therefore he flips it and it's not the Baal HaChamor is responsible, according to Shmuel, it's Dafka the Baal HaParah. Then they say, wait, Meitive, but now we have a problem because again, Machat shenimtzei ba'ovi beit hakosov v'chulei. Here the Gemara spares us reading the whole thing again. V'i de lo yahiv tabach dame baal behema baile tu yerayu mafik. Right? If the tabach hasn't yet paid, right, who does the burden of proof lie upon? The baal behema. Even though he hasn't paid, what did we say? The kinyan happens at the moment he takes the animal. So he's the owner. So how could you say that? V'amai. Sveiga birishut tabach ityalid. Right? The safek happened when it was in the Rishut of the Tabach. So you can't, right? So this doesn't work. Again, you have a problem from this case because it doesn't say whoever's Rishut it was in. It says, right? Depending on whether the money was given or not. So now what do they answer? Just like they did before. It's talking about the case. Diyav Tabach Dame. If the Tabach already paid the money, then who's the Motzi in this case? The Tabach wants to get his money back and the Motzi is Dafka the one who it's Yale Bereshute. So now the Gemara asks, obviously, like I did before, my Pascha, but I don't understand. Why did they say that then, right? The Mishnah says very generally, Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Harai. I'm sorry, the Braita says, right? Whoever wants to get the money brings the burden of proof. So now they have a good answer here. What do they say? Stama de Milta, Kama de Lo Yav Inish Suze, Lo Yav Inish Chayuta. It's very rare that you would have a situation where the Mocher would give the tabach the animal without getting his money. And therefore, the standard case of giving the money would dafka go in this direction. So you can say that, 90% of the cases are where the tabach gave the money already. And then, who are we talking about? The burden of proof lies on the tabach to be motzi his money from the mocher, in which case now it all lines up. The Baal HaParah is responsible. In the case of the daughter, right, it depends. Whoever has the item, they're responsible. The father, if it's in the father's house still, whoever has the daughter in their possession, if you want to talk about women as possessions. Anyway, right, so wherever the woman is, that's where. And then in this Macha case, the same thing. The tabach is the one who's responsible, so the burden of proof lies on him.
So this is Rabba Shita, right?
This is Rami Bar Yechezkel Shita of Shmuel. Oh, this matches, yes. This matches the understanding that it depends on, right, kan nimtzu'u, kan hayu. Exactly, yes. Okay, moving on to in the rest of the next part of the Mishnah. Chachamim amrim, bamed vareim amrim, bimumim shebeseter. Okay, when do we talk about this issue of the mumim, that the husband can claim, oh, she has a mum, and we can have a whole discussion about it? It's only mumim shebeseter that he couldn't have seen before they were married. So Amar Rav Nachman, v'nichpe kimumim shebeseter dami. Okay, what's nichpe? Nichpe is if she's epileptic. That's considered like a mum shebeseter dami. But now the Gemara says, v'hanemile dekviya lezman, avalo kviya le kemumim shebegaloi dami. Okay, they talk about two types of epileptics. One is a woman where she has epilepsy, but she knows when she's going to have an attack, and therefore she can make sure not to be around him when she knows it's going to happen, and she basically, you know, that's considered beseter. But someone who's lo kviya le, in other words, she has no idea when it might happen, that's considered galoi. Okay? Fine. Now we're going to flip our whole situation, and you're going to see a totally different set of rules. Shocking. What if the man has a mum? Okay? How do we treat this? So, ha'ish shenoldu bo mumim. By the way, this goes, I would say, both to the woman's benefit and not. Okay, we'll see. It's not necessarily so much against the woman. Ha'ish shenoldu bo mumim. If a man has a mum, okay, what's interesting about this, we're going to get to cases where they force the man to give a get, which is obviously going to open a whole petach to get meuse. How can you force a man to give a get? You know, generally we don't have that kind of situation. In which case are you allowed to force a man to give a get? So ha'ish shenoldu bo mumim ein kofino to lahotzi. If a mum develops on a man, you don't force him to divorce his wife, because it's not grounds for divorce. Amar hashpag b'me dvarim amurim b'mumim haktanim, ava b'mumim hagdolim kofino to lahotzi. If he has something very big, and it's very, we'll see what they're talking about after, then we are allowed to force him to divorce her, okay? So here you have a situation where you can force a man to give a divorce for a woman. To a woman. And she gets her ketubah, obviously, right? Because she didn't do anything wrong. Okay. Rav Yehuda tane noldu. Chiya barav tane hayu. Okay, Rav Yehuda says, the Mishnah is talking about a case. Okay, now we go back to Tanakama. Remember, that's just Rosh Bag. The Tanakama says, if a man has a mum, you can't force him to divorce his wife. He says it's only if, he says it's if noldu, if the mum came later on, once they were married. Chiya barav tane hayu. Chiya Barav says, no, it's talking about if the mum was there before, when they got married. So now, it's going to depend what you say. Manda amar noldu kol shekein hayu, de kasav rav akibla. If you say noldu is not grounds for divorce, obviously if it was there from the beginning, then you'd say she obviously accepted it, right? Why? This is totally different than the man case, right? Because the man case, if it was there earlier, then he could claim it was a mekach ta'ut. Here the assumption is, I assume it's because the woman doesn't acquire the man in kiddushin. That is, for him, you could say mekach ta'ut. For the woman, there's no such thing as a mekach ta'ut. So here you say, well, if the woman did it willingly, she knew about it, then she must have accepted it. But manda amar hayu, if you say hayu, right, aval noldu lo, but then you would say hayush is not grounds for divorce. But if noldubo, and this is a really interesting concept, right? This means, right, don't we say for better or for worse, right? Like you marry someone, whatever happens to them. But according to this, we say that if some terrible thing happened to the man, the woman can claim this is grounds for divorce. I can't live with him anymore. Okay, so that's why I'm saying it goes l'tovata v'l'ra'ata. In other words, this is l'tovata. It shows that she has zchuyot to say, look, something happened to my husband and I want a divorce now. Okay, now, they try to prove one of the opinions here, Tnan, from our Mishnah. Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Bamed Barim Amurim Bimumim Ktanim, Ava Bimumim Gdolin, Kofin Oto Lahotzi. So now, who would this work better according to? Bishlama Lamanda Amar Noldu, Hainu Dishane Ben Gdolin Liktanim. That's why there's a distinction. If something happens to your husband once you're already married, so, you know, if it's small, so you get over it, right? But if it's big, then we don't expect you to get over it. Ella Lamanda Amar Hayu, Malik Doli Malik Tanim, Hasabra Vakibla. In other words, if it was some gigantic thing that he had and she noticed it before and she married him anyway, well then again, her tafla, right? She knew. So why did she do that? So that's a really interesting answer to this. Kisvurahi Shiyuchola Lakabel, Vachshab in Yuchola Lakabel. This is very female trait, I would say, if you know, that I can live with it, right? Women are very forgiving and they can, you know, not always, obviously these are all generalizations, but you know, women generally say, oh, I can live with this. Especially, imagine a woman in those days, she wants to get married, she's having a hard time finding a shidduch, she finds this man, right, he's willing to marry her. She says, fine, I'll live with the fact that it's like this, and then as time goes on, she realizes, I just can't do this. Okay? So, so now, that's what, that's how you can explain Rabban Shimon Gamliel according to the Manda Amar that it was Hayu. Even if it was before, that's what happened. Okay, so now we've explained both Shitot and both of them still work. Ve'elu hem mumim gzolim. Okay, what are mumim gzolim? Perish Rashbag. Kigon nismet eino nikta yadon nishbara raglo. Okay, he gets blind, his arm gets cut off, his leg gets broken. You would think, right, that's not necessarily such a big thing, it could get healed. But in those days, remember, he wouldn't have a leg to, right? You can't necessarily always heal them, cure it. So it could be like he now doesn't have a leg to walk on. And his arm would be a big issue in terms of his working, right? A leg also. Itmar, and obviously blind. Itmar, Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yochanan. This is, by the way, it's only if she wants a divorce. She doesn't have to divorce him. Halacha ki Rashbag, Rava Am Rav Nachman, Halacha ki Dibrei Chachamim. Okay, so we have a difference of opinion. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Vaha Am Rav Bar Bachana. Okay, so now where are we? Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, said the halacha is like Rashbag. So now, Rabbi Bar Bachana says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that b'kol makom sheshina Rashbag b'mishnatenu, halacha kamoto, chutz me'arei b'tzidam v'raya achrona. So now they're asking a question on this statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. How could you say that Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha is like Rashbag if Rabbi Yochanan already has a general principle that the halacha is always like Rashbag? When Rashbag appears in the Mishnah, the halacha is always like him, except for three cases. We're not going to get into them now because we don't have time. Anyway, we'll get to these three cases in different places. I think we actually touched on them already in the past. In any case, these three cases, actually I see now in the notes that it's not, but I thought we somehow came across them. But anyway, three cases where we'll see them down the road. One is in Gittin, so we'll see it sooner. Three cases where Rashbag is mentioned in the Mishnah, we don't hold like him. Okay, one's in Sanhedrin, one's in Bava Kama, or Bava Batra, about alone, and Arev, and alone. So now, if he already has a statement that says the halacha is always like Rashbag, except for these three cases, and this isn't one of the three cases, well, then you don't need to say specifically halacha kereshbag. So what do they answer? Emoraim in huvalibit Rabbi Yochanan. There was a machlok in Emoraim between Rabbi Bar Rochana and Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov, whether or not Rabbi Yochanan thinks there's a general, across-the-board blanket psak, like our Meshim Ben Gamliel whenever he appears in a Mishnah, or each case is judged individually. Okay, so one thinks there's a general principle, and the other one thinks each is judged independently, and therefore he comes to tell us, in this case, the halacha is like Rashbag. Okay. Now we're going to get a list of mumim that a husband has, we're moving on to the next Mishnah, that a woman, it's grounds for divorce. And basically the Beit Din can come in and force the husband to divorce his wife. Ve'elu shekofin oto lahotzi. Mukat shchin, okay, he has boils. Bal polypops, okay, also like these polyps on his body. Hamikametz, which we're going to get to, it's some sort of gatherer. The Gemara is going to have difference of opinion as to what he's gathering. Okay, now, okay, the first two are, you know, physical things. The next ones are physical, but they're based on what his line of work is. Okay, so he's a mikametz, or he's a mitzaref, nechoshet, okay, he's a coppersmith. Haborsi, that's a tanner. We saw this borsi before. It's a smelly job. Bein shahayu ad shelo nisu, ubein misha nisu noldu. Now here it says, whether these are mumim, that whether or not it was there before she was married, or once they got married. Val kulan amara bimeir, apa pishi hitna imo, even if she said, I can handle this, I know that you're like this, I'm getting married to you anyway. Yecholai shetomar svura hayiti shani yechola lekabel v'achshav eini yechol lekabel. Okay, according to Rabbi Meir, she can say, I thought I can handle this, but I can't. V'chachamim omrim, mekabeleti al korcha. If she accepts it, then tough luck for her, okay? Chutz mimukat shchin, mipnei shem mimakto. Okay, except for the mukat shchin, because that is it's a physical thing that destroys his flesh. Okay, and the Mefarshim kind of explain that it has to do with the sexual relations are going to make it worse for him. Okay, so it makes it kind of impossible for her to really stay married to him and have a physical relationship with him, or a sexual relationship with him. Ma'asevet Sidon b'borsi echad shemet. Here's a great story, okay? There's a guy who was a borsi. She was married to him. He dies without kids. Bayalo ach borsi. Okay, and he had a brother who was also a borsi. So now she falls to Yibum to the brother who's a borsi. So what do you think? Can we force her to marry, to do Yibum with the brother? Because you can't say you care about, you know, marrying a borsi. You're already married to a borsi. Amru chachamim yecholai shetomar la'achicha yiti yechola lekabel ulecha eini yechola lekabel. And you can force the guy to do chalitza because you can say she was willing, right? This is all, again, the human psyche. You might be willing to get over it when it comes to a particular person that you're in love with, but when it comes to his brother that you fall to Yibum to, you don't want to handle that kind of thing. So the halacha matches that and basically says you can force him to do chalitza. Okay, now we're going to get into all these things. What are they? My baal polypus. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmua Recha Chotem. It means his nose smells bad. B'matnita tana Recha Peh. Okay, that his breath smells bad. Rav Asi Mane Ipcha. Rav Asi says, no, it was Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel who said it was Recha Peh, and the Matnita Tana Recha Chotem. Umanach Basimana, and he made a siman. Shmuel lo pasik pume mikule pirkin. Shmuel didn't stop his mouth from the entire parak, meaning he learned the entire parak really well, okay? But using the lashon of he didn't stop his mouth, meaning we're connecting with Shmuel and mouth, and that's how we know that Shmuel was the one who said it's Recha Peh and not Recha Chotem. Okay, it's just a mnemonic device. V'hamekametz, my mekametz, I'm Rav Yehuda, zehamekabetz so'at klavim. Okay, someone who collects the dog poop on the street. Okay, now why is he collecting this? Why is this a job? It's not because they want to have clean streets, right? It's because they used it for all sorts of things. Okay, so, you know, it was used for fire, for other things, to, you know, making a fire in the furnace. So anyway, that's his job. So obviously that's a disgustingly smelly job. Meitive, now they say, wait, but there's a different source that says it was something else. Mekametz ze borsi. It's a borsi, the mekametz. Obviously, now we're going to have a problem if you say that. So now we see there's a contradiction between Rav Yehuda and this braita, because the braita says it's borsi, and he says it's collecting dog manure. So now, v'lit amech tikshelach, or dog dung, however you call it, v'lit amech tikshelach matniti. In other words, how could you say it's a borsi if a borsi is mentioned as a separate line item? Right? It says mekametz and borsi. Bishlama matnitin lokasha. Kam beborsi gadol, kam beborsi katan. So the last koshi we just asked is not a problem. You could say there's a small tanner and there's a large tanner. Okay, then you'd have to explain, I'm not going to get into it now, why you would need both in the Mishnah, but there's the Mefreshim explain that. Ela l'Rav Yehuda kasha. But Rav Yehuda, it's still a question. How could you say it's a mekabet so'at klavim if it already says it's a borsi in the Braita? So what are the answer? Tanaihi, there's a machloket tana'im. Rav Yehuda is just siding with one opinion of the tana, you know, one of the other tana'im. Titania, how do we know it's a machloket tana'im? Mekabet ze borsi v'yeshamrim ze ha-mekabet so'at klavim. Okay, machloket in the Braita. Ha-mitzaref nechoshet v'ha-borsi. My mitzaref nechoshet. Here again, we're going to have two different opinions. Rav Ashi amar chash le-dudeh. He makes kettles, okay? And it's they claim it's a smelly job. It makes him very dirty also. It blackens his face, according to, I think, Rashi says that. And it makes him smell. Rabba Barbachana amar zeha mechatech nechoshet v'yikaro. It's a miner, okay? Mining nechoshet, a copper miner. And that would be the problem. Tanya Kavate de Rabba, Barbachana, Ezu Mitzarev, Zeha Mechatech Nechosha Mikaro. Okay, here's a braita that supports the second opinion. Okay, now we're going to get to a very interesting case, which has very, very broad ramifications. As I read this and I said, something's going on here, because you can see this is always like a clue to something bigger than what it appears. And then I think I understand what's going on. I'll give my theory on it. Amarav. Ha'omer eini zan ve'eini mifarnes. Now we're getting into a different issue. If he says, I'm unwilling to support you, yotzi v'yitink tuba, we force him to give a get. Azo Rabbi Elazar, okay, so Rav says this. Azo Rabbi Elazar, amar l'shmata kamei d'shmuel. Okay, Rabbi Elazar now brings Rav's statement in front of Shmuel and says, Rav said this. Now you're going to hear Shmuel's reaction. This is how you're going to know that there's something bigger going on here. Amar ichsu hasare leElazar ad shekofino tolahut. Sorry, achsu sare leElazar. Feed Elazar se'orim, which was considered animal food. Ad shekofino tolahut si yechafu hu lazun. Why should we force him to divorce her? We should force him to feed her. In other words, now why does he say this? Okay. At first glance, you might say, okay. So first of all, there's a few things. Number one, why does he have such a strong reaction? That, you know, you should be fed to Orim for what you said. God, you know, God forbid you should say such a line like this. He basically says, we don't force a man who's not feeding his wife to divorce her. What do? We force him to feed her. Okay? Now, number one, you could say it's to protect the woman. Because what? In the end, she needs food. She doesn't need to be on the streets. If he divorces her, she's on the street. She's got nothing. Okay? Okay, comes Rav, and they say, well, what does Rav say about this? V'Rav, ein adam darim nechash b'kfifa. A woman doesn't want to live with some guy who she, any day she could, right? Any day, if he doesn't want to give her food and the court forces him to feed her, so yeah, today he's feeding her. Tomorrow he might decide not to give her any food and she'll have to go back to court again. She doesn't want to live in a situation like that. That's not pleasant for the woman. So, you know, Shmuel thinks it's better for the woman. Rav thinks it's not better for the woman. That's one way of looking at Shmuel. The question is why, let's just read on one more minute. Kiselik Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira left Bavel and went to Eretz Yisrael, Eshechel Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, Diyati Bekaamar LaMishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. He heard Binyamin Bar Yefet when he got to Eretz Yisrael saying the same thing in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Same thing that Rav said. If a husband says, I'm not going to support her, you can force him to give a get. Amar Le, Rabbi Zeira said, Al da ichsu asarin le'elazar b'bavel. For that statement, they made Elazar and Bavel eat sa'orim. In other words, shut your mouth, don't say that. Okay? So, again, another crazy reaction to this. So what's the story here? What I assume is going on here is that according to this, basically it opens the doors to allow the Beit Din to force a man to give a get, which we know, the Mefreshim are all, right, everyone's very scared of doing that. Because here, in, right, what's the get, a case of a Mesurevet get? The husband generally is not supporting her, right? He's not giving her food. At that point, what do you say from here? According to Rav, if the husband's not giving her food support, they're not living together, she can claim, you know, give me a get, right? And the court can force him to give a get. Force, mamash force, right? No issues of kofino toachim arotzani. They can force him. So now, that opens a Pandora's box because, right, then we're going to allow, at least according to the rabbi, then from our perspective, that would be great. In other words, if the husband's not living, great. So we have all these cases of agunot. We can resolve them by using this source. Unfortunately, the Pesach is like Shmuel, which you can already guess. In other words, we don't paskin like Rav. Only in the case where the husband, and it's generally, what do? We try to force the husband to give food. The problem is, where do we determine that the husband's not giving food yet, right? If you're, let's say, still working toward getting the husband to give food, then the Beit Din can say, well, listen, he hasn't yet said, I'm absolutely not giving food, so kol od your bidiyun, you can't really force this get to happen. But this is like a really important source for this whole issue of Gittin. Okay, I'm forcing Gittin. Okay. Again, it would be great to talk about this more, but not enough time. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Now we're going to get into other cases where you can force Gittin. Okay, so Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav Asi, Ein ma'asin el rab mu'seh. That's ma'asin force. We don't force to give a get. El lepsulot. Only if he can't marry her because she's Pasul, right? So we're going to see all the cases. Ki amarita kamed Shmuel. When I said this before Shmuel, Amar, he said, Kigon, almana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalusa lekohen edyo, mamzeru nunitina l'Yisrael, bat Yisrael l'nitinu l'mamzeru, right? All the forbidden marriages. Aval, which case is excluded? Nasai isha v'shahai ma'esur shanim v'lo yalda ein kofinoto. Okay, if he can't have kids for 10 years, remember what did we learn? He's supposed to divorce her, marry someone else. But what did we also learn? That he can just marry someone else. He doesn't necessarily have to divorce her. So therefore, on that thing, we don't force him to divorce her. He can if he wants to, but he can also take another wife. Rav Tachli bar Barabimi Amar Shmuel Afilu. Here's a different opinion now. Afilu Nasai Shav Shahayma Eser Shanim V'Lo Yalda Kofinoto. Okay, we can force him even in that case. Tanan. Here's a Mishnah. Elu Shekofinoto. This is our Mishnah. Lahotzia Mukat Shchinu Baal Polipus. So our Mishnah is going to be used now to prove one of the two opinions. Why? Bishlama L'Rav Asi. This makes sense according to Rav Asi, who said we can only force if she's psul. So, Durabanan Katane, our Mishnah only lists the Durabanans. Doraita lo Katane. So, our Mishnah didn't mention anything that was Midoraita, because that was obvious. And who's that? The Mamzeret, and the this, and the that, all the Psulim. But, Ela l'Rav Tachlifa Barabimi, Litne, if our Mishnah is talking about the Durabanans, so this issue of him not having kids for 10 years is a Durabanan issue. It should have been listed in our Mishnah. Litne, Nasai, Shav, Shaima, Esther, Shanim, V'la Yalda. Kofinoto. It should have added that to our list. In other words, if you say our Mishnah didn't add the Psulim, fine, we understand. Those are Doraitas. But if our Mishnah is going to add, if there are other things and our Mishnah doesn't add them that are Durabanan, maybe it means it's not the case. So, Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha, Habimili, Habishote. If someone, there's two ways of forcing. There's forcing by talking to him, and there's forcing by hitting him. Okay, so now when it comes to Nasai Shan, they don't have kids after 10 years, so they talk to him with words. But when it comes to he's married to some, he's a Mukat Shchin and he won't divorce her, then we hit him. Okay? Matkifla Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba has a question though. Bidvarim lo yivaser aved. It says in Mishlei that an eved doesn't change his ways from talk, from words. Words don't help. Okay? So therefore, how could you say you use words? It's basically useless. Ela amar Rabbi Abba, hava habishote. They're both by hitting him. Hatam ki amra havinam bahade, shapkinala. Hacha apal gav de amra havinam bahade, lo shapkinala. Okay. One is the case where she says, if she says, I can handle it, right? I think that's 1 second. She says, I'm going to stay with him despite his mum, then we allow her to do that. But in the case of Shahaima Eser Shanim, in our Mishnah, all cases, what did we say from the beginning? Only if she wants to, okay? But in the case of the Shahaima Eser Shanim, it's a totally different case. There we force her to. Even if she wants to stay married to him, we force him to divorce her so that he can have other kids. Okay? So therefore, that's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is talking about different types of cases.
So that one's not in Doraita, because of Puru Rabu.
So it's not because he can always just marry someone else. He could take another wife. So it's not Doraita because of that.
But once they made the Takana that you can't be polygamous, how did they reconcile that?
Okay, well that's already later. That's
right, I know, but when they made that,
no,
takana,
this
they
is,
have to...
So that's a separate thing. Then it could be Doraita, but it wouldn't explain why it's not in the...
It's a different question. The question is, once they decided that you couldn't be polygamous,
so then you might have
they go
to,
back and have to...
That's a good question. I don't remember. Right. Did they then say you have to? Right. I don't even remember what we paskin. If we paskin that you have to divorce... And that's because there are two different opinions. Do you have to divorce her or not? So I don't remember what we paskin. You can look here. Emasin el lipsula, right? We don't force him to, I think. No, it looks like we do, actually. The halacha, the tet is on.
We do, because once there is an option and procreation is still deraita, then you have to find a way to get to
that. Although it might be that we pass them like it even before that. Right. Anyway, I don't remember the answer, but it looks like, and it's usually the little note that sends you to the halacha is where we pass them, and that's by the opinion that we do force him to divorce her. Okay. But now they say, wait a minute, if you're saying our Mishnah only lists cases where it's her choice, but we don't force him to, Hare Mukat Shchin, Da'af Agav Da'amra Havina Bahadeh, Lo Shavkina La, Ditnan Chutz Mi Mukat Shchin Mipnei Shem Mimakto, right? We said that. That's a thing that she can, that we force him no matter what to divorce her. Vikatane Hatam, Vikatane, and it's listed there, right? So what do they say? Hatam, what's the difference? Ki amra dairana behade besahade shavkina la. If she says, I want to stay married to him, but we'll have other people living in the room with us or living in the house with us so that for sure we don't come to sleep together. And basically she's saying, I'm willing to sleep with to be married to him without having a sexual relationship. We allow her, shavkina la. It's the whole issue, and that's why the Mefarshim there said it has to be a sexual thing that they're talking about, because otherwise it doesn't make sense, this sugya. Hacha de'af agav de'amra dayarana bahade besahade, even though she's willing to live with him with edim, lo shavkinala. Okay, when it comes to the being married for 10 years, right, she can't do that kind of a patent. It wouldn't resolve the issue. Okay, and that's why this one's mentioned in the Mishnah, that one's not. Tanya, Amar b'Yosi, Sachli zaken echa me'anshei Yerushalayim, 24 mukei shchin hen, b'kula mermu chachamim, tashmish kashe lehen. U'ba'alei ra'atan kashe mikulan. Okay, there's 24 types of mukat shchin, and all of them, having sex is difficult for them, okay, it makes it worse for them. And ba'alei ra'atan is the most difficult of all. Okay, ba'alei ra'atan, they define, I forget now, what do they define? There's like a whole description here, we don't have time. But anyone who wants to look in the Koran, there's a long description which describes a disease that sounds very similar to, we're going to see all the details that the Gemara is going to give us about this disease.
Meningitis.
Okay, meningitis, they say, that's interesting.
No, it doesn't say
this. Here it says Hansen's disease, colloquially known as leprosy, which is distinct from the biblical disease leprosy. It appears in different, I'll just read a drop. It appears in different forms, one of which is in line with the description here in the Talmud, it says. Okay? We'll leave it at that, but they seem to, from the research they came up with, this is the disease we're going to see. This is going to go back to one of those sugyas where we see very, very strange things that they're talking about and hard to understand. Okay. So, with that introduction, so that's the worst form of all. Mimai have, Ditanya, how does it happen that somebody, first they're going to say, how does it happen? And then they're going to say, how does it manifest itself? And then they're going to say, how do we cure it? So, Mimai have, Ditanya, hikiz dam vishimesh, havila banim vaitikin. Okay, if you're making down, remember we talked about bloodletting. We saw this before, actually, some issues about if you bloodlet and you don't eat after or things that could happen to you. But bloodletting, again, they did for curative purposes, but again, you have to be careful how you do it. If you do it and you have sex right after, then you end up with weak children. Hikizu shnehem v'shimshu, if both of them did it and did bloodletting and then had sex together, havila banim ba'ale ra'atan. That's what causes these kind of children. Amra papa, lo amaran ela de lo ta'imidi. It's only if you don't eat before having sex, after bloodletting. Aval ta'imidi late lamba. There's no concern. My simane, what are the simanim of this disease? Dolphin ene, his eyes are watery. V'daibe nechire, his nose runs. V'aitele rira mipume, saliva comes out of his mouth. V'ramu didve aluve, I don't remember all these words. Oh, right, the flies swarm about him. Okay? Umaya sute, what's the cure? Amrabae, pila viludina, girda de egoza, vigirda de ashpa. Okay, you take these two types of leaves, the pila and ludina, the peels of the egos, the peels of the, what's the ashpa again? The
hide.
Oh, right, of a hide, okay, of an animal. Vikalil malka, I don't remember what all these things are. Kalil malka is.
A lily?
Okay, here they call it Kalil Malka. It's Artemisia.
Artemisia.
Okay, yeah.
Which is known as a curative.
Okay. So, that. Then, Umatchala Dedikla Sumka. Okay, the calyx of a red date palm. Okay, now, what do you do with them? Shalakle Bahade Adade. You cook them together. Uma'ayale Lebeta Deshesha. You put it in a marble house, to the house that's sealed, no wind comes into. We've seen this before. Vilau ika lebete deshesha ma'ayale lebete deshav livne varicha. You make sure there's 7 layers of bricks in this house, okay, to make sure that no air gets in. Vinati le tlat mea kase al reshe. This is the gross part. You pour 300 cups of this on his head, of this substance that you cooked up in this house with shayish. Adirafia ariita demoche. Until The fact is, this disease is like this thing where there's this insect that gets inside your brain. Okay? So now your head is basically opened up, okay, where your brain is. Vakara lamoche, it cracks your skull, or softens your skull that opens. Umaite arba tarfe da asa, you take 4 hadasim. Umadle le kochad kara, you put a leg of the bug on each, right? Okay, but I didn't really explain this. It's like a parasite that lives in you, so it's stuck to you. So what do? You pick up each leg and you put a hadas branch underneath. Okay, now we would get really gross. Umotiv chad. Okay, you put each one under. V'shaka b'tzavta, and you pick it up with a tweezer. V'kalele. Okay, and then you burn it. Dilo hadr ilave, because otherwise he'll come back. Okay. Machris Rabbi Yochanan, he's a harumis vuve shabara baleratan. Be careful of the zvuvim that come from this, right? Remember we said the zvuvim swarm around him. Rabbi Zera, lo havayativ bezika. One second. Bezike, right? He wouldn't sit in a spot where the wind came. Okay, these are all things that people were scared of this disease. They tried to stay as far away from it as possible. So he wouldn't stay anywhere where the wind came from someone like this. Rabbi Elazar lo aya ba'ohale. He wouldn't go in a tent where someone had this disease. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi lo hava achli mi be'ida havi mivoa. They wouldn't eat from an alleyway where someone had lived, okay, from the mavoi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, michrach behu va'aske b'torah. He would do the opposite. He would stick to these people, and he would learn Torah. Why? Amar, ayelet ahavim bi'alat chen. Im chen ma'aleh lomdeh, agune lo magne. If Torah is ma'aleh chen on the people who learn it, would it not also protect them from illness? So some people say he felt like he was protected. He didn't worry about it, basically. And maybe he also didn't want to leave these people, right, totally alone. Ki ava shachiv, when he was about to die, amr le malach hamavet, zil aved le reuta, go do whatever he wants. In other words, they told the malach hamavet, you have to listen to the way Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wants to die. You have to do it his way. Azil itchazele, so he appears to, the malach hamavet appears to him, amr le, ach bele duchtai, show me where I'm going to be, where I'm going to sit in heaven. Amr le, lechai. He says, okay. Amar le, havli sakinech. But he says, give me your knife, he says to the malach hamavet, because he wants to prevent him from killing either other people or, you know, in other words, or scaring him. Right. Dilma meva'at le ba'orcha. In other words, he's scared that he's going to kill him on the way. He doesn't trust him. He says, give me your knife so you don't kill me on the way. Yahavani ale, he gives it to him. Kimata lahatam dalyai. Okay, when he got there, he lifted him up so he could see where he was going. Kamach vele, and he saw. Shvar nafalahu gisa. So he immediately jumps onto the other side and goes into Gan Eden. Nakte bekarna diglime. So the malach hamavet grabs him by the corner of his cloak. Like, what are you doing jumping into, you know, I didn't tell you to go there yet. Okay, like he obviously tricked him into getting there. Amar le b'shvuatana delo atine. I swear that I'm not going. Okay? I'm not leaving. I'm here and I'm not leaving. Amar kud shabrichu. So God says, I ishati la shvuata nehader. Ilo lo nihader. If he ever had an issue with a shvua, if he was shoel on a shvua he made, meaning, right, you make a shvua and then you say, oh, I never really meant to make it. If he was ever shoel on a shvua in his life, then we're canceling his shvua that he made. But if not, then you have to let him stay. Okay? So now, obviously, he never had, you know, dissolved an oath. So Amar le, havli sakinai. But now he's got the sakin of the malach hamavet, right? He was also, he used it as a trick to get the knife away from him so he wouldn't kill other people. Lo havakayav le, he wouldn't give it to him. Nafka bat kalav Amar le, hav niale demidbai libriata. Give it to him because he needs it. That's his job. Give it back to him. Machriz Eliyahu kameh, panu makom lebar Levi, panu makom lebar Levi. Make some for those, make way for the son of Levi, make way for the son of Levi. Okay, interesting story. We don't have any time anymore, so I'm not sure what to do with it, but we can think about it.
It's not done.
Right. Oh, you're right. It's not done. Okay. Karev legabe Rabbi Alexandre. Okay, so now, oh no, it's done. That's the end of the story. Now we have, right, isn't that the end?
No.
Oh, sorry. I skipped a part. Huh? Whoops, you're right. Okay. Sorry. Azil eshkechel Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, dehavayati val tlat asar tachtike pisa. Okay, this sounds like the princess and the pea, right? She was on 13. Okay, he's on 13 golden stools. Amar le, atu bar Levi, says, you ben Levi, right? Because he was Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Amar le, hen, nirata keshepi amecha. Did you ever see a rainbow in your life? Amar le, hen, in kein iata bar Levi. You must not be bar Levi. Why is that? Because they say that in the time of someone who's a real tzaddik, a rainbow is never seen.
It's not necessary because the
right,
because
they don't need
protecting
it.
World
exactly. Anymore. So now the Gemara says Velohi Delo Havimidi. In other words, really there was no Keshen, and really he was Ben Levi, obviously, and he was a real tzaddik, and there was no rainbow in his life. Elasavar lo ichzak tivuta lenafshe. He didn't want to look arrogant, so he didn't say. Okay, fine. I think we'll stop here. We'll finish up the next story tomorrow. Maybe I'll come up with something interesting
we'll
to say about these stories.
Volumes.
Yeah, okay. So you'll bring two volumes or you'll just listen to the story. okay. So, right, those who have the chance, didn't bring in a new version.